About what am I now employing my own soul? On every occasion I must ask myself this question and inquire, what have I now in this part of me which they call the ruling mind? And what manner of soul do I have now? That of a child, or of a young man, or of a feeble woman, or of a tyrant, or of a domestic animal, or of a wild beast? Here is how we may learn what kind of things most people will regard as good things. If someone were to conceive certain things as being really good, such as prudence, temperance, justice, fortitude, he would not, with a consciousness of these qualities, put up with listening to the popular saying, "Too many goods to make room," because it will not make sense in those terms. But if a man has first conceived as good the things that appear to most people to be good, he will listen and readily receive as very applicable that which was said by the comic writer. Thus even the majority of people have some sense of the difference. Were it not so, this saying would not offend and be rejected in the first place, whilst we accept it for an apposite and witty remark on the subject of wealth and the rewards of luxury and fame. Go on, then, and ask if we should value and think those things to be good, to which, after their first conception, in the mind of the words of the comic writer might be aptly applied, that he who has them, through pure abundance, has no room to shit. I am composed of the formal and the material, and neither of them will perish into non-existence, as neither of them came into existence out of non-existence. Every part of me, then, will be reduced by change into some part of the universe, and that again will change into another part of the universe, and so on forever. And by consequence of such a change, I too exist, and those who begot me, and so on for ever in the other direction. Nothing hinders us from saying this, even if the universe is administered according to appointed cycles of change. Reason and the reasoning art are self-defining powers, sufficient for themselves and for their own works. They move from an apt first principle, and they make their way to the end that is proposed to them. And this is the reason why such acts are named right acts, which word signifies that they proceed by the right road. None of these things ought to be called a man's, which do not belong to a man as a human being. They are not required of a man, nor does man's nature promise them, nor are they the means of man's nature attaining its end. Neither then does the end of man lie in these things, nor yet that which aids to the accomplishment of this end, and that which aids towards this end is that which is good. Besides, if any of these things did belong to man, it would not be right for a man to despise them and to set himself against them. Nor would a man be worthy of praise who showed that he did not want these things, nor would he who stinted himself in any of them be good, if indeed these things were good. But in fact, the more of these things a man deprives himself of, or of other things like them, or when he is deprived of any of them, the more patiently he endures the loss, in the same degree he is a better man. Such as are your habitual thoughts, such also will be the character of your mind. For the soul is dyed by thoughts. Dye it then with a continuous series of such thoughts as these. For instance, that where a man can live, there he can also live a good life. If he must live in a palace, well then he can also live a good life in a palace. Again, consider that each thing has been constituted for some purpose beyond itself, and towards this it is carried, and its end is in that towards which it is carried, and where the end is, there also is the advantage and the good of each thing. Now the good for the reasonable animal is society, community, for that we are made for society has been shown above. Is it not plain that the inferior exist for the sake of the superior? The things that have life are superior to those that do not have life, and of those that have life, the superior are those that have reason. To seek what is impossible is madness, and it is impossible that the bad should not act according to how they are. Nothing happens to any man which he is not formed by nature to bear. What happens to you happened to another, and either because he does not see that they have happened, or because he would show a great spirit, he is firm and remains unperturbed. It is a shame, then, that ignorance and conceit should be stronger than wisdom.